The Womanity Project. Let's talk about gender. Genders. Gender? Gender equality.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Womanity Project Live. I'm Aurélie Harp.
And I'm Celine Rosenthal, and you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. Our hearts are broken again after Paris, Berlin, Orlando, Istanbul, and then terrorist attacks reached a point of mass destruction far greater than before a few days ago in Baghdad. The death toll stood at 250, making it the single deadliest attack since 2003.
A few days ago, the long-awaited Chilcot Report, an independent inquiry in the UK's involvement in Iraq and how Tony Blair led Britain into the deeply unpopular invasion, has delivered a devastating critique of Tony Blair's decision to go to war in 2003, concluding that Britain chose to join the US invasion before peaceful options for disarmament has been exhausted. The Labour government also failed to anticipate the war's disastrous consequences.
They included the deaths of at least 150,000 Iraqis, and probably many more, most of them civilians, and left more than a million people displaced.
Chilcot even admits, "The people of Iraq have suffered greatly. This is something to be said for the whole Middle East, from the spring Arab revolutions to the current civil war in Syria." In the next few weeks, we are starting a conversation about refugees and women in Syria.
Today, we have the great honor of interviewing Hani Al-Sayed, an award-winning journalist, radio host, and public speaker. She fled the country at the end of 2011 after both Bashar al-Assad's regime and rebel forces wanted her to be their mouthpiece, and she refused. Now she lives in Washington, D.C., where she founded the independent not-for-profit online radio program, Suriali.
We met Hani at the Womanity Foundation Summit a year ago, and she kindly accepted to be part of the Womanity Project. Here is what she has to say.
I'm a global citizen. Yeah, my parents are Syrian. Yes, I'm Syrian, but I'm also a global citizen because I'm in such an international environment. I was born and raised in Kuwait. I went to the American School of Kuwait since first grade. That's where it was the start of having the best of both cultures, the West and the Middle East. And I'm very lucky for that because then you create your own culture. I came from, you know, an almost, you know, secular, you know, family. They're apolitical. We were in a bubble in the Gulf in American school. It was international. You know, what's important is your the first name of your friends. Nothing else mattered. And the first Gulf War was the first time I was displaced. I had my senior year to finish at the American School of Kuwait, and I went to Cairo, where I happened to be visiting my friend for the summer vacation there. And my family was like, just stay there and we'll try to figure out. And I lived with a family over there, away from my own family, and I went to the Cairo American College. That year was the largest class for them because a lot of people from the Gulf, due to the Gulf War, had to, you know, go to school somewhere. So moving on, I was in Lebanon, post-Civil War Lebanon. Mm-hmm. The Syrian army was still occupying. I had a very difficult time making friends. I had no clue what was happening. It was a struggle for me in Lebanon. And I remember crying my eyes out, saying, please, I don't want to be here. But, you know, when your parents are paying the bills for university, you're like, I'll do anything then to finish my education. So from Lebanon, I moved around a bit. And finally, in mid-2000, I moved to Syria.
Okay. At this point, I think it is essential to give a bit of historical and political context. We will try to remain as simple as possible.
Yeah, but trying to summarize the situation in the region in a few concise sound bites is challenging, to say the least, maybe even impossible.
Well, let's try. So, the roots of the conflicts in the Middle East go far back, long before the Ottoman Empire, before World War I and the British, French, and German interest in the region, before the rise of the Cold War and the wars between Israel and Palestine. It started in a rift between the Sunni and the Shia disciplines of Islam that opened 1,400 years ago.
As we understand it, The divide can be traced to 632 AD when the Islamic prophet Muhammad died, and a debate emerged about who should be his successor. Both sides agreed that Allah is the one true God and Muhammad was his messenger, but one group, which eventually became the Shiites, felt Muhammad's successor should be someone in his bloodline, while the other, which became the Sunnis, felt a pious individual who would follow the prophet's customs was acceptable.
The great majority of the world's 1.6 billion Muslims are Sunnis. The Shiites constitute about 10 to 15% of all Muslims, and they are present in Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and Yemen.
Complex conflicts and wars have poisoned the region that has been an indirect battlefield for the U.S. government against Soviet Russia and Israel against Palestine.
Back in the early 1990s, the Gulf War, or First Iraq War, took place in 1990-1991 and was a war waged by coalition forces from 34 nations led by the United States in defense of Saudi Arabia against Iraq and its leader Saddam Hussein in response to Iraq's invasion and annexation of Kuwait.
Kuwait was freed, but Saddam Hussein stayed in power. And we know what happened next. 9/11, the Second Gulf War, the rise of terrorist attacks by al-Qaeda, the execution of Saddam Hussein, the war in Afghanistan, the hunt for Osama bin Laden, the execution of Gaddafi, the Arab Spring or Jasmine Revolution in Tunisia, Egypt, Bahrain, Libya, Yemen, and Syria.
In Syria, when protests against his government began in March 2011, President Bashar al-Assad gave orders to crush the dissent rather than tolerate it.
The brutal crackdown by the security forces did not, however, stop the protests and eventually triggered an armed conflict that the UN says has so far left more than 250,000 people dead. More than 11 million others have been forced from their homes as forces loyal to Mr. Assad and those opposed to his rule battle each other, as well as jihadist militants from the Islamic State, or IS.
That is so confusing and heartbreaking.
I know.
And a lot happened because of the interest and interference of the USA, Europe, and Russia. Where do Hani and her family fit into all this?
My parents left Kuwait in the 80s. That's when my brother then came back from the United States, where he studied at USC. And he decided to go back to Kuwait. My elder sister also decided to go back to Kuwait. My other sisters decided to go to Syria.
And where in Syria?
Damascus. That's where my parents were. And my parents were in, you know, high-end fashion retail for a very long time. And then when they went to Syria, my dad actually went back to university when he was 40. So he did photography. He became a professional photographer. It was a hobby. It became a profession. And he opened a studio in Syria. My mom followed her passions, which she opened an art gallery in Syria.
After traveling for a few years, Hani decided to join her family and move to Syria in 2005.
Since the year 2000, Bashar al-Assad had been the appointed commander of the armed forces and secretary general of the Ba'ath Party and confirmed president by referendum with 97% of the vote.
In his inaugural address, Mr. Assad promised wide-ranging reforms, including modernizing the economy, fighting corruption, and launching our own democratic experience. It allowed the first independent newspaper for more than three decades to begin publishing.
In 2005, privatization began in Syria, and the first private media outlet is an outlet that I, worked for, and it was the best job I've ever had, really. It was a privilege and an opportunity, especially back then.
But, as we know, the Damascus Spring, as it became known, would be short-lived. But we'll talk more about that later.
It's time to take a little music break. You are listening to The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn. And we will leave you with a beautiful remix by Noel Kalman of Adele's Hello and Feroz Kefak Inta.
Hello, it's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like to meet, to go over everything. They say that I'm supposed to heal ya, but I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I've forgotten how it felt before the world fell at our feet. It's such a difference between us and a million miles. Hello from the other side. I must have called a thousand times. Doesn't tear you apart anymore. تذكر آخر مرة شفتك سنتا. تذكر وقت آخر كلمة قلتا. وما عدت شفتك وهلا شفتك. كيفك انت ملا انت اطلع بعاني ارجع انا وياك انت حلاني ارجع انا وياك oh, hello from the outside at least I can say that
about Syria and the reforms announced by Bashar al-Assad, how Hani decided to come back to Syria in 2005 and start on the radio. For the next 6 years, this is how many Syrians started the day.
Sabah al-Khair, Syria. Good morning, Syria.
I created the show Good Morning Syria, which was inspired by Robin Williams' Good Morning Vietnam. First year, very controversial. Who is this woman laughing and... bilingual on air and putting music, English and Arabic, and cracking jokes and getting personable and thinking everybody's her friend.
and were you the only woman on the show?
Well, I was the only woman on the show. I created, produced, hosted, did everything. Okay. It was the beginning of the radio itself. The first year that I started, I was like testing, and there was a lot of media that was against me, and they were worried, you know, like, you know, what are we going to do? This is going to work. The Syrians don't like this. The Syrians don't like that. The Syrians are this. The Syrians are conservative. I'm like, listen, stop saying what the Syrians are. They've only been exposed to one media. They've never had a choice in anything. Now we're giving them a choice. If they don't like what I'm presenting and how I'm presenting it, let the people decide. And you know what? You will know from the listenership, you're getting your sales or you're not getting your sales. And if it doesn't work, say goodbye, honey. And for almost a decade consecutive, it was the number one morning show nationally in Syria.
Wow.
And it's really about giving people choice, but also sharing the power that you have, which is the microphone, with them. And that's what I loved about the show.
Honey pushed the envelope. She talked about taboo topics like sex, divorce, and child abuse. And she seemed to get away with it.
And I used to campaign a lot, and this is how I worked with people. And I used infotainment. This is something I got from the West and applied in my country. It worked well, especially when you want to tread the red lines of the government. And when you ask somebody, Ben especially, well, what do you think? Oh, you're asking me what I think? I have an opinion. Well, what do you dream? What do you want to be in the future? I don't know. Whatever God wants for me. Well, great, I believe in God too, but, you know, what do you want? Have you ever dreamt of being anything that you want to be? And that was such an interesting thing to work with. To break social taboos. For example, when we did talk about sex education, we brought in a case of a woman who was willing to speak on air. And this is the beauty of radio. Nobody sees you. So it's almost like a safe space for people to confess and say what's on their mind and ask a psychiatrist and so on. And she was talking about how she was getting raped by her husband, and she never knew she was getting raped by her husband because she had no sex ed before she even got married, because it's taboo to talk about sex. And the point we were trying to make is, because there is taboo, then we're creating our own taboo, because we're learning from all the wrong sources. We're getting victimized without even knowing. So it was very important to bring that logic. And you are working with a conservative society. So how do you break the social taboos? How do you reform a culture by changing mindsets and so on? And I'm not saying I wholeheartedly I'm going to do that. But you know what? It's one small victory at a time, and I saw many of them.
But as the political situation grew more unstable, tensions became higher. When anti-government protests erupted in mid-March 2011, President Assad initially appeared to be unsure how to respond, but it was not long before only force was used to combat them and install a state of terror.
Honey had to watch what she said while she was on her show. Too far outside of social norms and she would be chastised. Too much politics and she'd get a phone call from government censors.
She wondered how it would be possible not to talk about the elephant in the room. How could she remain objective when everyone was monitoring her, not just the regime?
And then that gets scary, because then that's a responsibility and you need to make a moral and ethical judgment here of, okay, I better watch out what information I'm disseminating, what every word I utter is going to influence somebody out there. So you can't be perfect, but at least you need to be conscious. And you need to always just be responsible while you're doing what you're doing. And then I said, okay, I have that power. I want to share that power with them. And what I was really thinking is, how am I going to now focus? I can't change politics in my country. So how can I work with the grassroots civil society? Well, there wasn't much of a civil society, but grassroots. With people. Because that's really what mattered to me. And in particular, youth and women.
Criticism ranged from, you can't talk about this indecent topic, to, you didn't put a song for the president when you were asked to. And matters only got worse as rebel forces gained power.
So finally, Hani decided to leave the country in November of 2011. She'd been granted a visa to the United States, but she didn't tell anyone that she was leaving for good. If they asked, she said she was going for media training and would be back in a few weeks.
Since her departure, Hani's been blacklisted by the Syrian government. And during the entire first year in the States, she could not bring herself to listen to her station back home, Good Morning Syria.
I want to say how much we as women have to go through just to prove ourselves. I arrived here, I literally lost everything. The career I built, but imagine you've reached the top of your career, whatever that is. And suddenly, it's all gone. And you're at a time and age where, you know, I've done thinking about what I want to do when I grow up. And I've done it all. And now it's not only all gone, you're also in a whole new world. A different place. A different everything. Nobody knows who you are to the point where the immigration officer can tell you, your resume looks really nice, but you're nobody here now, whoever you were there. To hear that, it's almost like, wait, you just slapped me on the face? Like, literally slapped me on the face, because that's how it felt. I felt a slap on my face. And then I just walked out, because I learned from my mom that nobody can tell me I'm nobody. Because no matter how dire the situation is, no matter how rock bottom, the only way is going to be up, as they say. And you know what? I know that I will fail. And I'll get up and I'll fail, but I don't want to stop getting up. I had to do so many things. It's been a hustle just to say, I am here, I exist, I can do this, please do believe in me. And I think we double our efforts just by being women to prove that we can.
Nobody can tell me I'm a nobody. Beautiful thought. She kept repeating during the interview when I was with her, it's not about men and women. We are different, but the most important is, how can we be human and connected together and lift each other up?
Today, we talked with Hani about the power she found by using her platform on the radio to speak out. And we have a question for you at home listening this week. What's something you wish you were brave enough to raise your voice for? If you weren't afraid, what would you speak up about?
So please let us know. Follow us. Tweet us, go on Facebook, Instagram, at Womanity Project. But most importantly, we would love to hear about your stories.
Yes, I find it unbelievable how often we let fear silence us. And I think that one of the things that's most inspiring about Hani is how brave she was in speaking up for what she believed in. So we encourage you to do the same.
And another thought on that is, I'm going to be very honest, today I'm very angry. I'm angry with what happened in Baton Rouge. I'm angry with all the terrorist attack. We feel so powerless and so disconnected and so desperate in a way. But one thing, again, I appreciate and admire about Hani is the fact that she didn't seem to be angry. She's moving on and speaking up and trying to reinvent herself.
And so loving, which is unbelievable with all that she's been through. So yes, please connect with us. And that brings us to the end of our episode. So we'd like to thank Mick O'Connor, our lovely, lovely sound designer, Lizzie Hagstedt for the compositions, and of course, Radio Free Brooklyn. Coming next is Sin Smith Radio Theater Collage.
Tune in next week, The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time.
And now we'll leave you with one of Honey's power songs, an original by Kifak Inta, by Feroz.
تذكر آخر مرة شفتك سنتا تذكر وقتها آخر كلمة قلتا وما عدت شفتا وهلأ شفتا كيفك انت ملا انت سهرت عمّا تذكر كان في وحدة مضايق منّا
سألت بوقتها وما حللتها